Αυτό πρέπει να βάλει.
So, thank you much for coming to the second panel as of today. My name is Simona Simon. I'm working from Eurex, and I will try to give my best and moderate this distinguished panel on a very interesting topic, the role of banks and brokers in developing emerging markets. Before we just basically get started with this topic, I would like to let you know some organizational topics. We will meet at 2 o'clock, so directly after dinner in the lobby, to walk to the Matba. As far as I understood, it's just 2 blocks away, so it will take us just some minutes to go there and visit our colleagues from Matba. And before also getting started, I would like to announce some the changes of the panel. You see, we're still in total 5, so we just have some changes. I would start probably with Sergei. So originally, Sergei's competitor was planned to be on the panel. I'm delighted to have Sergei here from the biggest Russian exchange, from MySex. Lydia is also from Warsaw Stock Exchange. She will basically tell us the updates from her exchange, which is doing very well in central. The exchange was very fast developing and very successful in a lot of areas. And to my right is Michel Leglaire. He will basically wrap up and let us know the thoughts from somebody who is active and trading in the financial community. And to my left, I'm delighted to present Rod. I guess I don't need to mention further details. Everyone knows Rod from JSE. And Rod will let us know also some of the secrets of the South African market. Before I basically start with the topics and with the questions regarding the roles of banks and brokers, I would like to address some 2-3 sentences in Spanish to our hosts here in Buenos Aires. Estimados participantes, antes de comenzar con el panel sobre el rol de los bancos y brokers en los mercados emergentes, quiero dar las gracias.
Jamarcus, I would like to thank MATBA for having invited AFM to Buenos Aires. I am fully convinced
that all the participants in this conference are impressed by the tango, by the community, by the food in Argentina. And we will continue later with other panel. It's been a great success here now in Buenos Aires. I personally can't wait to see the pit in 2 or 3 hours. And I am convinced that I will never forget Buenos Aires or this conference. Thank you, MATBA, and thank you for everybody that organized this successful conference. Thank you.
Back now to the role of banks and brokers in developing emerging markets. I'm very honored to basically have the opportunity to be invited by the AFM to chair this panel. It's a topic which is of very huge professional and private interest for me as well. As some of you might know, I personally was born in an emerging market, well, country that is nowadays an emerging market in Romania. And I'm also dedicating basically half of my job at Eurex to look around about what we can do in emerging markets, especially in my case in Central and Eastern Europe. And therefore, I think it's very interesting to have a discussion which about 17 years ago wouldn't have basically, you wouldn't even spend more than 1 minute. In CEE, banks were basically existing. There were entities, but they were state-owned. There was not much going on there. And now after 17 years, we have topics basically focusing on the role of banks and brokers. And I'm very, very pleased to have representatives from all the big countries in the world who will let us know how their home markets are doing. I mean, you all have heard about the famous, like, BRIC buzzword. Brazil, Russia, India, and China. I'm very delighted to have 50% of this BRIC world on the panel. And I'm also delighted to have Rod from Africa, from the African continent, to let us know what the JSC, JSC sees basically his participants, the banks and brokers, how basically, I think I've spoken like last year in Bergenstock with our colleague with Alan about the banks and brokers as well, and what they do, what you do in order to become so, or what you did to become so successful, especially in the single stock futures area. And, of course, Michel will then wrap up from a participant point of view what his experiences are. So before we basically get started, I would like to give the opportunity to each from our participants to basically get you informed about their role at the company they're working for, what they're doing. And afterwards, we will basically break down and just speak about the details related to each of these countries. Sergei, please.
Thank you, Simona. I'm sorry that Alex Safonov is not with us today, but anyway, I'm thankful to organizers of the conference for giving me the second opportunity to promote my company, even without being an FM member. So MISEC's historic name is Moscow Interbank Currency Exchange, but for the time being it's no more interbank and a little bit currency. It's the global Russian electronic marketplace comprising all possible in nowadays Russia markets, cash equities, cash government bonds, cash FX. It's also a derivatives exchange. As a, on average, our market share in Russia is about 90, is more than 90%, and we are one of the definitely the biggest exchange in Central Europe. As a derivatives exchange, we trade now futures on currencies and interest rates, and the second in Russia after Russian trading system. We are pretty equal on open interest, but they outperform us as far as today is concerned in volumes. We also have plans and very nearest plans to launch commodity derivatives. Thank you.
Referring to this blank note before me, I would like to explain and address to the information that we have today a replacement panel. I have an honor to replace my colleague, Adam Maciejewski, who was not able to attend this meeting, and a few words about Warsaw Stock Exchange. Historically, Warsaw Stock Exchange was established at the beginning of 19th century, but due to historical reasons, there was about 50-year break after the Second World War. That's why we say that 1991, that was the day that Warsaw Stock Exchange was reestablished. Currently, we trade 300 securities, and this is our main instrument. Besides, we trade also derivatives. The most heavily traded instrument is futures contract on our main blue chip index. Comparing with trading of another derivative instruments like this in Europe, we are on the fourth position. That what I think is interesting for this year, and I would like to develop it a little bit more, is, you know, that year 2006 was the best year in 16th history of Warsaw Stock Exchange. This is one aspect. Second one is European Union membership of Poland, which has also quite significant impact on our business this year. Thank you.
Buenas tardes. Muchas gracias por estar.
Thank you for being here. I am glad that I'm back in Argentina after 5 years. It is a country that I like. I lived here for 5 years, and part of my heart is in Argentina. So I would like to thank AFM for having invited me here.
I'm a bit out of the blue in the context that I'm really not an exchange. I am an asset manager, so I have nothing to do. I'm the user. I'm the one on the other side. So I'm the founding partner of DFL Financial Services. We were established in 1991. We started as derivative brokers, as introducing brokers. And with time passing, we started to add new products to our company, like asset management and fund services. As of today, we manage about $400 million, which is in funds, in two hedge funds which we have, and different managed accounts. We do fund setup services also, and most of it we do fund selection for our investments. And we distribute different, also a part of distributing our own funds, we obviously distribute other funds. So this is my introduction.
Thank you, Simone. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I represent the JSE Limited, a multi-instrument electronic exchange on the tip of Africa. We trade a cash market in shares, and we trade both financial derivatives and agricultural derivatives. If you want to know more, there's a very interesting article in the latest SFOA magazine, which has just come out. You can find out more about that. In most sports, a replacement player comes off the reserve bench for two reasons, either to make an impact or because they have no one else left. I think the second is my case. I hope I can add something to this panel. Thank you, Simone.
I'm sure. So thanks a lot. And basically now starting to get into the main roundtable discussions, I would like first of all to basically have the representatives of the exchanges giving an overview basically of how the market is perceived, the local market, how, well, the fact is that the banks and the brokers that we are going to speak about, they are participants at these exchanges. They influence a lot exchanges. I mean, speaking from a personal point of view, being also a customer relationship manager at Eurex, we deal, my customers are banks, brokers. And I know there is a lot of linkage in between when we develop products or when we develop and have new ideas or when they have new ideas. There's an entire process of dealing with them, speaking, getting feedback, negotiating as well. And this process of how you deal with your big customers, how they influence the market, how the entire basically capital market is influenced by them, by their products of course as well. This is basically what I would like to start to get to know from the emerging markets representative. And probably best to start with Sergey, being such a big exchange, which has done fantastically in 2006. Please, Sergey.
Thank you. I'll try to be pretty fast, and I would like to put maybe three comments on that. First of all, about investment banks. In Russia, there is no legal segregation between legal and other banks, let's say commercial banks. That's why we may say about brokerage companies and banks. Some of brokerage companies want to position themselves as investment banks, and they put name of banks on top of their roof. Then the Central Bank of Russia is not very happy about this, because in order to be called bank, the organization should get a bank license. And some of these brokerage companies, they get a bank license just in order to be named investment banks, and they do not perform other banking operations except investment banking. The second comment, we have two-tiered client structure for different reasons, and probably the key reason is legal reason. Our direct customers are professional participants, professional intermediaries who are definitely brokers and banks, and their clients are second-tier participants. We do not contact with them directly, nor technically, neither technically nor legally, though they can trade through intermediaries on our market using internet access through application protocol interfaces. The third command and maybe extension of this command is that actually brokers and banks are very important to us, and who else can be more important than banks and brokers? Definitely we try to try to feel what they want and and to implement what they want and to consult with them. We have different vehicles to do so, but the most probably to be the more interesting to be mentioned here is possible situations is potential situations when contradictions between brokers and banks are possible, and now it's probably it's going to happen on our derivatives market. As I said, our derivatives market is current derivatives market is a market for currency and interest rate futures, and for the time being, it's a market of banks and primarily of big banks. And that's why they want to be the only ones represented as, let's say, clearing members. From on the other hand, now we are developing another market, a market for futures on stock indices. This is a market for smaller participants, and brokers want us to allow them to become clearing members. And there is a contradiction because between what banks want and what brokers want. And I think that we may face some problem when we are going to integrate both futures markets, currency and stock indices, and the problem may arise from different needs, different requirements to membership criteria. And so to wrap all of this, I would say that definitely we try to mention interest of both banks and brokers because they are our direct customers, but what they need may contradict each other.
Thank you,
Sergey. Brokers and banks are authorized to trade at Warsaw Stock Exchange after possessing acceptance from Securities and Exchange Commission. Currently, we've got 24 members authorized to trade in Warsaw. Due to European Union regulations and so-called single European passport, we have now 11 foreign remote members from European countries. What does it mean, single European passport? It means that if you are European Union market participants and you are authorized to trade on any European market, you may apply, it means simply inform a local regulator like in Poland, and after 2 months you are allowed to start trading. So currently we've got, as I told, 11 European Union remote members having a direct access to Warsaw Stock Exchange from abroad. It means they do not have their premises in Poland. Brokers are very important clients to us. Looking at Warsaw Stock Exchange income structure, they provide us with 80% of our income. The remaining 10% we've got from our issuers and the last 10% from data vendors. Talking about the clients, since brokers, members, they are intermediaries and they service their clients. I think that this is something interesting as far as investor structure in Poland is concerned, and maybe not so common to other emerging markets. Trading in equities picture is like this, that institutional investors, retail domestic investors, and foreign investors, their share in our trading is one-third, one-third, one-third. And this structure is more or less stable for last 10 years. Why it could be considered as interesting? Since I think that mainly the share of retail individual investors is something not so common on emerging market, which was reestablished, as I told, 16 years ago. A question of trust, transparency, investors' education, this is something which is the necessity, the condition for people to decide to put their private money into capital market. Even more interesting picture you'll see on derivatives market when we've got now 70% of the trading provided by individuals, domestic individual investors. Why brokers and intermediaries are important to us, and probably, and we think that they will be even more important. Mid this year, it means July, we hope we'll manage it, Warsaw Stock Exchange is going to launch new trading platform dedicated for SMEs, small and medium-sized companies. This trading platform will be organized based on the formula of non-regulated markets according to European Union MiFID directive. Such market is based on the very profitable and successful example of AIM market in London. We are going to have something like this in Warsaw, dedicated for Polish SMEs and small and medium-sized companies from Central and Eastern European region. An important element of this project is to support companies with so-called authorized advisors, which would help and support new companies coming to this non-regulated market, and we envisage that such a support could last about 1 to 2 years. This support is mainly dedicated for disclosure requirements, which are not so common for small companies, small domestic companies. I told about European Union role in the development of our market. That's what we are thinking about in order to minimize the cost for SMEs on this non-regulated market is to take advantage of European Union financial support to finance a part of the costs related to the presence on this non-regulated market. So I think that I will thank you for the moment.
Yes. Thank you, Lydia. And we go to my left, to Rod. Please let us know.
Thank you, Simone. I am an economist by trading, and therefore economists cannot work without assumptions. So the assumption I make in the title of this is using the word developing as a verb, a doing word, and not an adjective. To that end, I believe that both brokers and investment banks play very important roles in developing markets, be they emerging markets or any other markets. And I think it's a little bit like the tango show we saw last night. I think you need both a male partner and a female partner to develop the tango successfully. I'm hesitant to venture with regard to brokers and investment banks, which is the male and which is the female. But if pushed, I would have to say that investment banks, or all banks, are probably the male, because I guess all of us, our lives and our moves are determined by banks. So based on that. Turning to brokers first, a very important part of the market. Why? Because they, in a sense, provide the link to the market, the link between the clients and our exchanges. They are also the face of the market. Much of our marketing effort was based on the fact that we did have brokers that represent the market. But this brings, I think, quite a risk, and I think it's very well, if I think obviously by mistake, reflected in your programs. Because if you turn to your program, you will find that we are going to visit, and I'm very pleased, Senor Mara, we're going to visit Matba. And this is absolutely unintentional, but I think it illustrates a very good point. It says in English, the translation, we will be visiting Matba's soybean, sunflower seed, and con pit, C-O-N. Now, in English, a con trick is when someone takes you for a ride. And one of our difficulties, and I think a difficulty we all face, is that the brokers who represent the exchange must be in themselves reputable. Unfortunately, sometimes brokers, in our view, and I speak from our side, brokers are in it for themselves and perhaps for the short term and not necessarily in it for the long term and the good of the interest, and therefore, in a sense, can harm the exchange. So you need to, as it were, in my view, rein in the activities of the brokers. You want to make sure that the brokers represent the market and bring the business in, but it must be in the long-term interests of the market. Now, we obviously have rules and regulations governing the ethics of the market. We also have capital adequacy requirements, whereas in the derivative market, the risk is taken by margins, as you all know. We also have capital adequacy that all our broking firms have to have 13 weeks operating expense in order to give some type of or to cover the reputational risk of brokers out there, and I think that's a very important part of the role of brokers. But having said that, and putting on another cap, I do think that perhaps with technology and the advantages or the progress made in technology, that perhaps brokers will become obsolete as well. When you have a pit, be it a corn pit or a con pit, and let's hope it's a corn pit, the brokers represent the clients by coming to a central place, obviously very necessary. Electronic trading, you can basically be anywhere in the world, as you know, and link into an exchange. Now, what is the role of a broker in that sense? Perhaps a broker is there to market, to inform the client. Well, in that case, yes, I think there is a role for the broker. We are going through the stage now, Simone, as to do you require brokers or traders to write exams? And our thinking at the moment is if they interact with public and give advice, then yes, they should write exams and have some type of qualification. If they are trading only principal for themselves, well, then it's their own money. Let the buyer beware. So perhaps they don't need any type of qualification. So in a sense, brokers absolutely should be there, should be reputable, and play a very valuable role. With regard to banks, the other partnership in the tango, just as a general remark, and it's a remark that's come through in many of our panels, never think that banks understand derivative markets. They need to be continually educated like everybody else. So there's always a role, an ongoing role, in my view, for education of the banks. Like Sergey, I see banks really not in compartments of investment or commercial banks, but perhaps a broad bank, broad base of banks. I think there's four roles for banks. We've seen four roles for banks in the development of our exchange. Firstly, as capital support in the initial startup of the bank. We were very happy that when we started up our agricultural market, we issued seats to raise capital, and the banks took up trading seats. We are now demutualized, we listed, but when you start up an exchange, I think it's vital that the banks are involved in that capital support. Why? Because when you put money somewhere, you put commitment. And I think that's very important. So capital support. Our banks are also involved, in a sense, in the broking business. I think that's very important. I'm an agricultural man. The banks take the financial risk into agriculture. Therefore, I believe they need that arm into an exchange in order to hedge the risk of financing agriculture. The third area where I believe banks can play a role, and we have not been successful in this to date, is that like many emerging countries, we have a dichotomy in the agricultural sector. We have some very large, wealthy commercial farmers. We have a large number of very small farmers who cannot necessarily access the derivative market because of margins, because of cash flow requirements. I believe that banks can play a role, in a sense, as I understand it, in Chicago or in America, almost marketing clubs where they can bring small producers together and therefore meet the requirements in emerging markets of being able to access and to use the benefits of an exchange. And then finally, the other role in South Africa particularly is our banks form the basis of our clearing members, and therefore they also clear for the market and play a vital role, because if you don't have that clearing, you obviously don't have a market. Thank you, Simone.
Thank you, Rod. I will now pass over basically from the exchange view to somebody who is using the banks and brokers to then trade also on exchange, and let him basically just let him share his thoughts and his experiences and his ideas about what banks and brokers mean for the emerging markets.
Well, I must say that I must take a lot of points of what you said. I absolutely agree with you on that point. the role of banks and brokers is amazingly important in creating a new exchange in an emerging market. But we must be sure that these banks and brokers provide the real liquidity and a constant liquidity in the market. I mean, when you said that they have to be there for the long-term view, I absolutely agree with you. I mean, this is really the case. These market makers have to be there for the long run. They have to go there. It makes no sense that they come and establish themselves just to profit of arbitrage in the beginning of a setup of an exchange. I think this is very unhealthy. I absolutely agree with you that the education of operators and of clients is major, especially in banks. Obviously, the brokers, they have better education than banks, because it's their real job. But I forgot also to mention before in my presentation of myself, excuse me, that I am in the executive board of SFOA, the Swiss Future and Option Association. I'm representative for the Ticino, where I'm on behalf of CBOT or CME or whoever it is, which wishes to present their markets and do educational courses. I organize that with our associations for them. So I think this is a very important point to the education. And I think also that in the setup of a new exchange, what has to be really well thought is not to create too much contracts which are not easily synchronizable with the rest of the world. I think it is important that if big exchanges have a contract which is 100 tons, for example, I think it's not very wise to go and create a contract which has another denomination. I absolutely agree that in small countries you can have smaller contracts. I mean, this definitely. So you have the possibility of everybody, like the minis they do in the States also. This is a good solution, for example. But I think a kind of standardization worldwide is of use also of an emerging exchange when it set up, when it starts its building, its job. What is very important also for me is the account segregation. I mean, it is true that if you want to trade through a bank, you are safer because it's a bank, etc. But the cost of trading through a bank is amazingly high, so you will prefer to choose a broker to trade because it's cheaper. But there we have the risk of the counterpart, no, which you don't have with the exchange, because the exchange obviously guarantees everything. But the broker is then the risk. Yeah. So there we have to very look that the accounts are segregated. I mean, that you have your account on the name of a broker, even if he's a small guy, but it's segregated. He has no access to the physical. I mean, even if he goes bankrupt, that doesn't incur that you go bankrupt, because your only fault was that you wanted to invest in that exchange and you have to pass through a broker. So I think these are important things. I mean, the liquidity is king, and I think that it is important that in tough times, I mean, market makers and brokers, they can make a lot of money during the whole year, but I definitely not accept when brokers, when in crisis times, brokers and market makers step down and just don't do their job. I mean, this is something which is unacceptable. Mm-hmm. And I think this is something which has to be discussed over to, in a kind of way, to oblige people, market makers, to create, to give liquidity to the markets. So that would be my comment on it.
Thank you, Michel. Probably some thoughts from my side as well, being also active in this area, or what my experience basically was with banks and brokers in developing emerging markets, especially in Central and Eastern Europe. I must say I'm basically amazed about the fantastic jobs the banks did within the last 17 years. I mean, speaking about CE, no banks were existent, or basically not in the current setup, not in the current role they play in the capital markets. And if you go now to any country in CEE, basically, it's really amazing what the banks, how professional the banks work. Of course, it's one of the most developed sector. If you go to CEE, you will see that people there are very, very professional. It's amazing, and it's always a pleasure to speak to people there, basically being so well educating, and being not just educating about what a future is or what an option is, having also a very good overview about what the big markets, basically the benchmarks, are doing. They, of course, went through a learning process. They're still going through it. But it's really incredible to speak to these guys having this enormous knowledge. Banks and brokers in Eastern Europe in emerging markets, also a very interesting topic. Now, speaking besides Russia, where the banking structures is different than in other CE countries, if you go now, no matter if you go to Prague or to Budapest or Bucharest, you can see basically a lot of banks. Almost all the banks there are owned by, be it like SocGen, being Hypo Vereinsbank, now basically Unicredito, be it by ABN AMRO. So basically being owned by the banks that are internationally, globally active. Nevertheless, I mean, they still, most of the banks keep their own like name, their local brand. This is also very important because a lot of the bank ensure the entire working capital markets there in the local markets, at the local exchanges. It is also very interesting to see, coming now from the derivatives side, that's why I mentioned Warsaw, for instance, and Russia are very good examples where the derivatives market is working properly. There are still some countries in Central Eastern Europe which do not have at all derivatives markets. I'm speaking about now financial derivatives markets. But they're looking very close to it. They're looking very in depth to see what they can do. And I know a lot of banks, a lot of exchanges, a lot of operators are often in a permanent negotiation process, also a continue education process to see what they can basically do in order to customize or to basically develop and design the solution which the local market requires. I mean, I think we heard it a lot of times during the last 2 days. It's not that you take the CBOT model or the Euronext Life model or the Eurex model and copy-paste it into, for instance, Croatia. It's not working like that. Of course, you can look at them, you look what the success factors are, but there are always particular demands in the local market that the main participants, which then are going to trade on exchange like banks and brokers, who also in developing markets are our customers as well, have to be aware of. It's like, for instance, retail, the big retail. I mean, a good bank and a good broker should take care of this and should be aware that there are, of course, traditionally there are countries where the retailers would love to trade options, but of course there are a lot of countries where they just right now are not ready to get into this market. Of course, a lot of education needed, but basically pass on the knowledge which is already existent at the operators, at the participants, and educate the market. And I think banks and brokers have a very, very important role. I think they have also, they basically have the possibility to offer this knowledge, and they very far developed. I think, of course, there's potential for everyone to improve, but I think they do, from our experience, a very, very good job in these emerging markets. And it's amazing looking at countries that didn't have at all properly a working system, and now it's just basically comparable to basically just Western countries. That's what I would like to add from my side. Further on, I would be interested if there's somebody from that would be personal, my personal interest, and I think for very much interest for the audience as well, from South America, basically from Argentina, letting us know how your banks and how your brokers basically fit into this entire landscape of capital markets, how basically you perceive and what your experience are here in Argentina with banks and brokers and what role they play here.
Bueno, te lo digo en castellano, lamentablemente.
Unfortunately, Diego Esteves explained this yesterday very well from the OTC. If we have an electronic stock spot market and bonds market, then the government allow them to trade. Well, they signed an agreement with the stock exchange and they were allowed to trade only securities. They do not trade in the futures market. They are working with or trading with OTC. Is the market that is MAECO here that has most of the future dollar contracts. And what MATPA can say from its experience is that in the 90s, when trading was very, very important, banks join the future operations in dollars. There were three banks that were operating actively. As Rod said, they gave credit to small farmers and they provided hedging. That's the experience of MATBA and the experience of Argentina, that the concentration of banks basically form its own market, that is the electronic OTC market. Thank you, Ricardo. Alan, ahí me parece que tiene alguna pregunta, ¿no?
Can I just,
yes.
Simone, let me just explain, because I think Michelle took up the point of the need for brokers, in a sense, to provide also that risk management gap. When I said that I believe that brokers might soon become obsolete, I think obviously you would need something to take that risk management up. With direct market access, as we have it in our market now, we have electronic market. A lot of our brokers would have an API, so we would have a number of clients dealing directly onto our market. Now, apart from the fact that farmers should farm and not necessarily deal electronically on the market because they forever are pushing the wrong buttons, but that's something completely different. they deal through, as it were, brokers, and therefore your risk management pyramid stays intact. But I foresee the day where if I want you to trade as a farmer, I would have a link straight into my bank, and my bank would be able to provide the credit risk, the facility, how much can Rod Blondin trade, and I can assure you he can't trade too much. But that would be the risk management. And in that sense, I really see that perhaps brokers might well become obsolete in the brave new world, that I would be able to access multiple exchanges around the world as a client. My bank would dictate exactly how much I can trade and put limits on what money is available. And in that sense, perhaps brokers might well become obsolete.
Well, I don't know if they're going to be obsolete, honestly. Even if I must admit that I started as a derivative broker, and this part of my business is not even 5% today, because it's obsolete in the sense that it's not economical. But I think that you cannot take away the broker. I think even the farmer, he needs to have some idea from somebody. And unfortunately, the bank is, from my point of view, not the answer, because the bank has not the interest of putting analysts in commodities and things like that. I mean, they have, or you have to separate banks. You have to do the broker bank, okay, but at the end of the day, it's a broker again. No? So, but the point of being able to trade directly in exchange, I think that could be quite interesting in the future. But it's quite far away. In any case, what is very important from the broker, in general in establishing, is that you have a control on the exposure of the client. I mean, not to let the... And this is a little bit of problematic. The bank doesn't let you trade more than 20... I mean, you need to put 20% of margin, and the broker has to put 2% of margin. No? So there is a little bit of a gap. No? So you have to a little bit see, is it a professional, is it a farmer? I mean, if you let the farmer, like you say, push the wrong button, and he's trading on a 2% margin, I mean, the guy is going to be banana in a minute. No? So the control of the exposure and the risk, I mean, maybe somebody can trade whatever he wants during the day, but at night, I think not to have too low margin is quite important.
Basically, before just asking my participants the sort of an outlook about what they think, what the role of banks will be in the next year and how it will be developed, I still would like to basically round off our planet and go to Asian, to our Asian colleagues here, and probably if you might add something from your perspective to this topic. I think it's important for us to know also what you think and what your opinion about the role of banks and brokers is. I don't know.
Okay, if I may just say a few words. I think in Asia, there are different models. Some models is more working, let's say, with the investment bankers to provide liquidity, to provide active trading. In particular, for example, let's say talk about Singapore market. Those investment bankers play a very important role. Whereas, let's say, in another market like in Taiwan, investment bankers and brokers are basically the same. The stock brokers, securities brokers, and futures brokers, and the investment bankers are very much alike. They are more or less the same entity. So in that sense, the investment bankers also playing the roles of brokers. And of course, the brokers' roles are very important. And I must say that I have slightly different view on brokers as compared to Rod's view. I think brokers still play an important role linking up the exchange with the users. Because for exchange to access to the user, reach out to the user, I think that took tremendous amount of understanding, education, teaching, and also risk management. And that, I think, compliment your view of Michael or Michelle.
Michelle. Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Richard. Questions?
Yeah, thanks. I mean, the whole discussion about brokers is something which is key about the broker's business, not innovation. I mean, okay, from your electronic trading point of view, okay, it's transformed the exchange business. Everyone knows that. And, I mean, I remember hearing colleagues say, well, okay, brokers, direct access, that's going to, you know, be the end of the broker's business. But of course, the brokers have evolved and brought innovation, exchange access to different markets, all sorts of innovative products which have preserved their business. I mean, they're adding value, so that's an important thing.
Thank you, Jonathan. Questions? Okay. Basically, I would like to start the last round. Just try to close your eyes and look in 5-10 years. What do you think, what the banks, the participants in your local markets would look like? What would the new function look like? What would be the new role in, let's start with Sergei again, with Russia?
It's not easy to make a prognosis, especially in respect of the future. So generally, I would foresee the growing importance of both brokers and banks. Their relative importance may vary from market to market. What I may foresee in more or less distant future is a remote membership, just what is happening now in Poland, as Lydia explained. Probably, I would like to touch maybe some minor issue raised by Rod, is role of banks in commodity futures market. It's very important, as Rod explained it, but in Russia we had a unique situation. We have very obsolete regulation in this sense, and this regulation prevents bank from participating in commodity trading. And the Bank of Russia, which is the national bank and regulator of Russian banking system, interprets it in the way that banks are allowed to trade currency derivatives only if they are cash settled. Even if they service their clients but not trading on their own behalf. And that's probably maybe it's a bridge to the previous panel. But when we are thinking about a nature of product, whether it should be cash settled or physical delivered, we should think not only about reliability and quality of benchmarks, but about the potential customers, and take into consideration that, for example, if we say physically delivered, then no banks. And I think that in some future it will be changed.
Thank you, Sergei.
Yes, looking into the crystal ball is risky, however exciting on the other side. And referring to this, I would like to come back to the model of the relations between brokers and exchanges. Everybody agrees that the role is significant and probably will grow in the future. We concentrated our presentations and discussion on relations based on the assumption that we both, I mean exchanges and brokers, swim or are in the same boat. Since, as I in my speech told brokers, in the case of Warsaw, they are our shareholders, our members, they are liquidity providers, we assume they will help us to develop our new market. But that what I think could be interesting and inspiring, this is a topic which is heavily discussed lately in Europe, which is concentrated on competing between exchanges and brokers. And it refers to MiFID directive, which general assumptions are to support competition and to eliminate very crucial rule which is quite old on the European market, so-called concentration rule. According to this, public trading of securities was allowed only for exchanges dealing on regulated market. that what is envisaged from November this year is cancelling this rule and allowing brokers and intermediaries to provide trading services. And, of course, this is a potential threat for the exchanges, since it means the reduction of the business they are making. There are two areas of possible competition between exchanges and brokers. One is so-called internalization of trading, which means that brokers and investment banks are allowed to concentrate trade within themselves and not transfer the orders to the exchanges. Of course, there are certain conditions they should meet in order to do this. If they are, for instance, so-called systemic internalizers, they should provide defined disclosure requirements and so-called pre- and post-trade transparency, which of course means cost. Such systemic internalizers are obliged to provide information on quoting and the pricing. Another field of competition is establishing alternative trading system, or sometimes called multilateral trading facilities. It means that brokers, intermediaries, investment banks decide to create their own trading facility competing with the exchange, competing mainly based on pricing and fees. And probably you've heard previous year, November or December, I do not exactly remember, so-called turquoise initiative of five leading European and worldwide investment banks, that they will make their own, so to speak, exchange. The question is, and many exchanges ask themselves on, and they are asked whether it means the threat of marginalization. Somebody says, yes, that in the future it means within those 10 years, Simona told, somebody may predict that there will be less space for exchanges. Maybe it is so. However, I do think that such processes refer mainly to global exchanges and blue chip instruments. I think that there is a niche, there is a space to maintain local domestic trading on small and medium-sized companies which are mainly interesting for local investors. That's why, me personally, representing Warsaw, I think that maybe it will be, probably it will be not my problem within 10 years, but I think that thinking about the markets, there is a chance for the exchanges to survive, competing with brokers.
Thank you, Lydia.
Well, I agree in a sense with you, but I think you are mixing the broker and the bank. I think what you are complaining that brokers are doing, I'm of the opinion the banks are doing that. Because the broker himself, from my point of view, he's looking for his commission on the trade he's doing. I mean, you're going to buy and sell with him, and you're going to pay a commission for that. That's what the broker is looking for. On the other side, you have the bank, which wants to have that commission, wants to have the interest rate, wants to have, I mean, all the rest. So I think we're a little bit more talking about the banks than the broker. But I absolutely agree that it is outrageous that with all the effort the exchanges have to set up and promote products, etc., that you go and have OTC stuff made on the outside on something which is exactly parallel to what is offered by the exchange. I absolutely agree that it is very sad.
Thank you, Simone. I'm going to stick with my analogy and remain provocative. I think the tango will become more male-dominated in the future. So I believe that the role of banks will increase and the role of brokers will decrease.
Thanks a lot, Rod. Thanks a lot to all my distinguished panelists. And I think Lydia gave us a very, very comprehensive overview about MiFID and basically the conclusion of what it will bring to the market. This is the crystal ball. I agree. That's why it's mainly trying to look into the future. Probably the reality will be, or we could speak about if the crystal ball is right or not at the 20th AFM meeting, probably in 10 years, probably again here in Buenos Aires. And then we'll see if exchanges are still surviving. I hope so or not. Thanks a lot. And please don't drown off. Don't run off, because I have here Gustavo Piccola, who is going to address some words to us. Thanks a lot, everyone.
Okay. When we decided to make this presentation, to give this presentation, we found ourselves into problems with two issues. The first one was, what was the best timing to give this presentation? And we decided that this is the best timing, even though we are very close to lunchtime. The second issue was, in what language we were going to give this presentation? In Spanish, maybe? Maybe in English? Or maybe in Spanglish? So, I decided to give this presentation in English. So, please drop your receivers, and we will try to speak with my best
English. Thank you to Cristina for these minutes. Thank you, Cristina, for the organization of this conference. And I hope to say thank you to Viviana, my assistant. Yes, she worked very hard. She worked very, very hard for this conference. Thanks to Araceli. Araceli works in our marketing department. I thank you to Gabriel Fernandez. Gabriel is Araceli's boss. And poor Gabriel. He is in Boca Raton. Poor. Okay. My name is Gustavo Piccola. Some of you already know me, but for those who don't, I am the CEO of MADBA. I have been working in this company since 1990. And we are pleased that you have chosen Buenos Aires for the celebration of the 10th anniversary of the AFM. I would like to tell you we are proud of having 100 MADBA Foundation anniversary here in Buenos Aires next October. I think that it's a good opportunity to invite all to come again to Buenos Aires to this special event. I'm not sure that we'll have a tango show, but yet some surprises. We expect to have here again. Before you arrive to Buenos Aires, we felt that we have the obligation to express in different ways what teamwork and association means for our company. We work hard inside doors to define the better that we could our culture, and we thought that a video will be the appropriate thing to represent these feelings. We are strongly combined that there are chance for each of us, for each company showed here in Buenos Aires, to become successful. We need to gather resources and look forward for innovation and look for new opportunities. Most of this work will be done alone by each one of us, but merges around the world are drawing a new idea of what Air Force means to get more profits for companies. We don't need to give examples about this matter. I would like to share with you our feelings and visions for the future work of all of us. Different cultures are no barriers to reach new goals. Let's pay attention only for 3 minutes. I think in this video that we have been working on. Please, the una para las luces. No se escucha. Tiene sonido. ¿Está bien puesto?
No, está silenciado, permiso.
¿Eh? Technology. Today is martes 13, Tuesday 13, and it's like Friday 13. Yes. That is the problem with the technology.
Next season, when you see geese migrating towards warmer places to spend the winter, observe that they fly in a V formation. Perhaps you would be interested to know why they fly in the form of a V. It is because when each goose flaps its wings, an air movement is produced that helps the one behind. By flying in a V, a flock of geese can increase its flight potential by at least 71% compared to a bird flying alone. People who share a common direction and have a sense of community can fulfill their objectives easier and much faster because the achievements are better when we help each other. Each time that a goose leaves the formation, it feels immediate air resistance. The bird realizes how hard it is to fly alone and quickly returns to the formation to benefit the companion behind. If we also unite and stay together with those who go in the same direction, our efforts will be fewer, much faster, and more pleasurable to reach our goals. When the leader of a flock of geese has fatigue, it falls back in the formation and lets another goose take its place. People can obtain better results if they support each other in difficult times. And by showing mutual respect at all times, sharing both problems and hard work. The geese flying in back honk to the ones in front to keep them flying at the same speed. A word of encouragement sometimes helps, motivates, and produces the highest benefits. If we stay one next to the other, giving support and being there for the other person, if we keep the group spirit alive, despite human differences, we can form a group of people to face all types of situations. When we understand the true value of friendship and are conscious of the feeling to share, life will be much easier and years will fly by with joy.
Ok, deme la luz. After this message, I could say hundreds of words, but I will only mention four main topics as a gift for you to think on your way and long trip back home. First topic, opportunities are very close for every one of us to work in open markets around the world. Second, let's open the winds and let others fly behind us. Working together, things will become easy. Third, we need to make, fund, and manage business, sharing information, efforts, and results to become stronger among the years. And fourth, the most important point is to look for a win-win thinking, not in win-loss one. The result of win-win relation will take us to be successful and much more profitable. Thank you very much for coming to Buenos Aires. I hope you enjoy the city, the food, and the tango. And I hope you to meet you very soon again. Thank you very much.
Gustavo, I think it would only be appropriate for this goose to honk one thing, and that is to say thank you. We appreciated being here. It was great. Gracias.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
I've got
each of you a little... Oh.
Thank you.
Oh.
It's to take your presentations with you.
Here
you
go.
And here we go.
Thank you. Sorry. I took yours.
Thank you very much, and I think everyone's hungry now, so I guess lunch is...